Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on September 20th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana, as part of the Montana Book Festival. 11 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, Fork in the Road. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Perry Nyes and is titled Escape from New York. Thanks for listening.
The first time I left New York to come to Montana, it was 1983. I'd been living in New York with my boyfriend. I'd followed him there. And this was because I kind of had lost track of what I had wanted to do myself. I was pretty much on a program that other people had laid out for me, my parents and my friends, my colleagues, my boyfriend. And I'd kind of lost track of what I'd wanted to do. I remembered, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a ballerina. And at one point, I wanted to be an actress. And then a lot through my teen years, I wanted to be a painter. And that had kind of fallen by the wayside when I was leaving for college and said I wanted to be a painter. And that was kind of who I was. And my mother said to me, well, Vincent van Gogh, he could have been a banker if he'd really wanted to. And then my father said to me, well, you know, if you were going to be another Picasso, we would have known by now. So I became a graphic designer, and I was pretty good at it. I had a pretty successful career in New York doing that. And we had an apartment in Manhattan. We were living on Second Avenue, which for those of you who don't know is an interstate truck route. And the trucks would shake the entire building when they went by. We were also living over a bar called Cronies that played loud music until 4 o'clock in the morning every night. I had kind of a battle going on with them when they told the super that their ceiling was leaking. I turned the bathtub on and let it run because they never would turn the music down when I asked them to. And I was kind of going a little crazy there, actually. this was the 1980s in New York, and they had shut down all the mental hospitals and the homeless shelters and the rehab centers, and the streets were filled with people who were drunk, screaming at the top of their lungs, and sleeping on pieces of cardboard on the sidewalk. It was pretty grim. I would come home and couldn't get into the building because some guy was passed out in a pool of urine in the vestibule, and nobody could open the doors. And, you know, you'd lay awake at night because the garbage trucks were grinding, like, right over your head at 3 a.m. This was pretty hard for me, and I started losing my capacity to experience beauty. You know, you have to shut down to be in an environment like that, and it means not only do you shut out the ugliness, but you shut out beautiful things, too. And I was losing myself, really. My boyfriend and I had made a deal that we would go to New York so he could go to graduate school. And when he got his master's degree, then it would be my turn to decide where we were going to live. But the year was up, and it was pretty clear that he wanted to stay in New York. And I knew that I was going insane. So I rented a farmhouse for the weekend upstate and went up there alone and took long walks and journaled and tried to remember what my dream had been the last time I had had one. And the last dream I could remember having was that I had wanted to be a fire lookout. And this probably came from in high school. I read On the Road by Jack Kerouac, and you know, at the end, he's a fire lookout in Washington. It just sounded perfect, you know? It was quiet. And then also I remembered, oh yeah, I had kind of been an amateur teenage Thoreau scholar. And oh yeah, I wanted to live alone in the woods. Like really different from what I was doing. So I went back to the city, and the first thing I did was I wrote a letter to the U.S. Forest Service. And I said, I would like to be a fire lookout. And a little while later, they wrote me back, and they said, well, you know, we don't have fire lookouts anymore. We use radar. but we have, if you have skills that we can use, we have volunteer positions all over the country. And they sent me like this fat book that was like a catalog of all these volunteer jobs. And they were things like count spotted owls in Twisp, Washington, inventory grizzly bears in Ouray, Colorado. And so I was like, okay, looking through this catalog, and what skills do I have that the Forest Service might be interested in? So I trumped up a bunch of stuff and put it on a resume and sent it off to about 30 national forests. And I got quite a lot of interest back, surprisingly. And one day I got a call from the Wisdom Ranger District of the Beaverhead National Forest in Wisdom, Montana. And they asked me, would I like to come to Wisdom and be their wilderness guard in the Anaconda Pintler Wilderness? And my deal was, I had written to all these forests, and I said, you know, what I want is a job where I'm living alone in the woods with my dog. I have to be able to have my dog. I had an English Mastiff named Sam, who went everywhere with me. He went in the elevator with me up to the 8th floor of Gimbel's department store to get the art supplies. He went with me to business meetings at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Where I went, he went. So Sam was going to come with me. But my boyfriend was not going to come with me. And he was pretty angry when I revealed this plan and kind of went between threats and pleading. And finally, I just had to say, I'm sorry, we just don't have the same dream. My parents were really angry. They said that I was running away from real life. This was a phrase they used a lot with me when I was growing up, real life. And I would always think to myself, what does that mean? I mean, what life is not real, you know? And I would like watch them to see what they meant by real life. And what they meant by real life appeared to be, in my father's case, your dream is to be an orchestra conductor. Therefore, you become a vice president of marketing. In my mother's case, it was, you dream of being a scientist. Therefore, you get married at the age of 19 and have children and be a stay-at-home mother. And they were not happy. I mean, I grew up in the household. They were not happy. And I thought to myself, you know what? Real life, the way they define it, does not come well recommended. So, and besides, now I was gotten back a hold of the Thoreau track, right? And I was not going to be deterred. So I went out and I bought a Dodge Sportsman van, 1977, and put curtains in the windows. And I built a bed I put in the back and put in a tape deck with big speakers. And I went to the L.L. Bean catalog and I ordered a sleeping bag and some hiking boots and a compass. And I loaded up my stuff in the van and my dog. And in May, we drove off to the West. And I had never been alone in my life before. And every time I saw some fantastic landscape, the Great Plains, the Rocky Mountain front came into view. I had never seen anything like it. And I would turn to the front seat, you know, the passenger seat, to tell them how amazing it was. And there was nobody there. So I put a yellow legal pad, I rubber band it to the steering wheel. And every time I had thoughts or impressions, I would write them down. And by the time I reached Wisdom, I had a writing habit. I didn't know it then, but I had a writing habit. And I bought a $20 manual typewriter, and my supervisor took it up to the cabin for me by mule with all my stuff and dropped me there at 8,000 feet at the foot of the Continental Divide in a 1930s log cabin nobody had ever lived in, no running water, no electricity, 100 miles from the nearest supermarket, and left me there. And I was terrified, but it was silent. The silence was so beautiful. I could hear myself think, and it was there that I became a writer. Thank you.
Thanks, Perry. Perry Nyes moved to Missoula in 1992 as a refugee from New York City. She's the author of Grand Obsession, A Piano Odyssey, which was named an Editor's Choice by the New York Times and a Best Book of the Year by the Washington Post. She has written for National Geographic, The Atlantic Monthly, The New York Times Magazine, Sports Illustrated, Outside, and many other national publications. She's a presenter for the Speakers Bureau of Humanities Montana and does living history talks about the Rocky Mountain Rendezvous era at museums and schools around the state. She lives in Helena with her husband Wendell, her horse Deva, and their cow dog Winnie. Learn more about Perry and her work at grandobsession.com. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers John Engen, Jameson Gordon, Neil McMahon, Harry Nyes, Pat Williams, David Allen Cates, Shoba Rao, Michael Marsalek, Becca Kelly, Tommy Peterson, and Allison Cox. Remember, your story matters. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn more. TellUsSomething.org. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge. Bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local, house-made ingredients. Dining made different. View their menu and event schedule at tophatlounge.com. The Wilma. A locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now, it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. TheWilma.com. CabinetParts.com. The number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. Missoula Broadcasting Company, which includes The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock, and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM, playing what they want. U 104.5 FM, finally, a radio station for you. UFM keeps every listener happy and upbeat with a fun mix of top 40 favorites and upbeat alt-pop jams. And ESPN 102.9, KKVU HD4, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain, Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, and mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He is at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Find Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Gecko Designs. Gecko Designs is a great little design shop specializing in responsive, results-driven web design and are proud supporters of the arts, hosting First Friday events every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. The bookstore at the University of Montana. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction. FactandFictionBooks.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com.